Welcome to the BioLauer. I'm your host, Mike Ahn. On these B-sides, we host students and we try to talk through what they're learning and the processing from the previous podcast. In this week's episode, we've got Landon White and Lisa Ishihara sitting down with two students, Josh Durant and Megan Collins. They continue the conversation on meaningful work and calling. I think their conversation is so fun and engaging. Let's just jump right in.
Hello and welcome to another Biola Hour B-Side podcast. I'm your host this week, Landon White. Today we're going to be talking about meaningful work in response to thoughts shared by Dr. Ariana Molloy. So I'm going to have everybody first go around and say your name, introduce yourself, tell people what you do here at Biola University, and give us one job that you wanted as a kid, since we're talking about meaningful work. So I can go first. Landon White, studying spiritual formation and soul care at Talbot School of Theology, working on my master's. I also work with worship bands here in the area of spiritual development. One thing I wanted to do as a kid was be an architect. I wanted to make houses.
My name is Megan Collins. I am a senior Christian ministry major here at Biola University. And when I was a kid, I used to tell people I wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
You got wow. Any jokes for us? No. I'm sure they'll come out. Right. Josh, how about you, man?
My name is Joshua Durant. I am a junior music major here at Biola University. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be a brain surgeon.
Wow. Nice.
Still considering it.
What kept you from that?
Shaky hands.
That will do it.
That's legit.
So then you became a drummer so you could get all those shakes out.
Exactly.
Right?
True.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm Lisa Ishihara, Director of Chapel Programs here, one of our campus pastors. And when I was a kid, I always wanted to be an elementary school teacher. Like, I loved my second grade teacher, Mrs. Williams. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. She had us memorize, like, these huge poems. I memorized "Twas a Night Before Christmas," and I just wanted to invest in children after that. So
yeah.
That's what I wanted to do.
Wow. Very cool. Hey, so could you guys share anything that stood out to you from Dr. Molloy's thoughts today? Something that was interesting to you or you disagreed with or whatever?
I thought it was really interesting that she brought up the idea of workaholism. I feel like I hadn't put words to it before, but I feel like I struggle with that, mostly because I'm pursuing music, like leading or playing an instrument is often used in the church. And so my day of rest is often being either overused or, I don't know. So Sundays often I'm playing an instrument and not feeling like I'm resting. And so I feel like I'm overworking myself usually.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It's an interesting thing of our culture, how much we're driven to work. I was listening to a sociologist talk about different cultures and work in different places. And they were talking about some places actually in Africa that to do even hard things, like there's farming, there's gathering water, there's all these things. And factored out all the hours it took to do that, and it was like 15 hours a week of the stuff they have to do. It was about like self, like they take care of their resources themselves. And so where like farmers here in the U.S. have to farm an entire field of wheat, but they're just working the ground like for their family.
Yeah.
And just for that, it's 15 hours a week. But like we have this different mindset about what we have to do and achieve. And I thought it was super fascinating. And that's probably not possible in all places across the world. Like, oh, that's so different. Like for us that we do 40 hours a week and then more on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that stood out?
Yeah, there was a quote mentioned in the last podcast. Dr. Molloy said, "I think there's a myth out there that calling is obvious and it occurs to us in one single moment. Most people find that they don't see their calling until later in life when they look back." I just thought it was really interesting because I kind of identify with both. I feel like I, from a very young age, I knew exactly what I wanted to do because the stand-up comedy fell through. but I always knew that I wanted to go in full-time ministry, even though no one really in my family was like a pastor, but they were very involved. But in that, there are a lot of nuances of knowing that, you know, you're called to something, but there are a lot of intricacies, especially in ministry. Do you want to work with kids? Do you want to do more administrative work? And so kind of navigating the nuances, especially as a college student with impending graduation, kind of understanding that, you know, even though you may have a direction of where you're going, calling is changing and evolving, just like you are.
Right. Yeah. I love that, just the example of kind of this ongoing journey, that it's not this one point out on the horizon that's like that God says, you have to do that, and then you're just aiming at that. It's kind of this step-by-step. I love that you said evolving. It's continuing to change. Mm-hmm. And even the thought that once we arrive at, if there is a thing that is like, you have to do this, but then arriving at that one thing, what happens after that? Yeah. Do we stay there, or can it change or evolve even more?
Yeah.
I think too, I feel like I'm still always asking the question of God, what are you called me? Where, like, what are you calling me to?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, yes, in this season, like, God has given me this place to do ministry and my current place of occupation and work, and I get to do things that are meaningful and life-giving to me. But I think I'm still asking the question about, okay, God, in the whole of my life and who you've made me to be, like, where are you moving me? Or where are you stretching me and growing me? Are there other things that you're calling me to do? So maybe the calling isn't just about occupational work, right? I think, so we probably talked about this, like, you know, in previous podcasts, just the distinction and differentiation between occupation and then like our vocation, right? So we can be called to all of these different roles and responsibilities in our lives. Like, I'm called to be a daughter, I'm called to be a sister, I'm called to be a friend, someone who serves in the church and cares for some of our seniors in our senior ministry, right? Like, there's, I think, different callings and vocations that we do step into. And then occupation, I feel like we always just kind of like latch on to this, you know? And there's a part of me that's like, is this the occupation I'm going to stay in for the rest of my life? Yeah. You know, right. Have I arrived and do I you know, plant down here and establish, you know, who I am? Or God, are there other things that you want me to see and be open to? Like, will this calling in a different occupation ever change? And so I think that part about the quote that says, most people find that they don't see their calling until later in life. When they look back, I'm like, okay, so when I'm 90, my family lives like until like 98, 99. Whoa. So it makes me think about like when I'm 90 and when I look back, like how will I see this? And like, what will I be able to look back and say, this was the calling on my life? Like all of these things in my life moved me towards this thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of an interesting thing just to kind of ponder and be like, okay, God, so then what does that mean for me today? So in my personal life, I think God has actually been challenging me to live in the present and to enjoy the present.
Yes.
And to take that in and live meaningful ways and things and with people in a way that is honoring to God, but is also, I think, enjoyable and fulfilling and meaningful.
Yeah, I think a good practice for us to engage in. So I'm going to ask you guys this question, but for our podcast listeners, you could do this yourself too, is – can I look back, even currently in life, at things that at the time I had no idea how they would impact me today and actually become a part of what I'm doing? So I'll pose that. I have an answer for myself, but I'll put it out there for you guys.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to how calling evolves and how it shifts, I think as you grow older, you gain these experiences. I know that last year my father passed away, and that has really given me a heart for people who are grieving and just even the loss of expectations of potential job opportunities. And I think those moments really change your calling and kind of evolve and refine you. And so I definitely think that that's just one of many moments different jobs have given me different work. I would have never had thought I would love church administration and filling out reports and leading focus groups, but through random jobs and just the Lord bringing different opportunities into my life, I've definitely seen something new in me that I didn't know was there. And I think that's the beauty of an evolving calling, is that sometimes it's a process, and I think there's a lot of grace in that.
Yeah.
That was a really good answer. I have no idea. I know that I'm the youngest of my family, and I feel like I've been seeing God using that as kind of a tool, and kind of, I feel like one thing I really love doing is just listening to people, and I, looking back, like maybe that's because I saw a lot of people talking over each other, like being talked over as the youngest and things like that. So maybe that.
Yeah. It sounds like he even like instilled a sense of compassion within you, because you saw, oh, there's some injustice here that not everybody's getting to be heard. And that put in you like a sense of compassion. You want people to be heard.
Totally.
So you listen.
Totally.
That's cool.
I think Dr. Malloy kind of talked about this too, like in her life, all of her different jobs or internships kind of pointed in one direction or kind of equipped her in a way to, you know, step into the job that she has now. And so I think one of the things I always try to reflect back on is, are there different themes that are popping up in my life or that God just kind of keeps letting come to the surface, you know? And so I think for me, I think I've always been a learner. Like, I love to learn, and then I love to share that with other people. So I think that's come up, like, in different occupations, doing, I think I did, like, 6 or 7 internships in undergrad. Like, it's like I just wanted to try to, like, be in all these different places and try to take all this in. And so when I looked back, even when I stepped into this job 10 years ago, I remember thinking every single internship and job that I had held up to that point actually gave me a concrete skill that I needed for this particular job. So I kind of felt like, okay, like, and my job actually didn't exist even before I stepped into it. So it was kind of cool to see, like, God take all of the experiences that I had at an accounting internship, working for an event marketing, you know, company. It's like I worked in all these different places, and God gave me a concrete skill that then, at the moment, I was like, what am I doing? How come I've like done all these different kinds of internships, aren't even in the same industry, you know? And then just to see, okay, God was investing in me even in that moment to equip me for this. And I actually needed all of those administrative skills and sharpening and sometimes failing or sometimes, like, you know, learning how to thrive to actually have, I think, the stamina and then the foundation to be able to move into the place that God has me now. So, you know, I think it's just, it's looking back and trusting there might be these themes and these things that God is doing in your life, and you can't see it in the moment, but maybe one day you can look back. And I wonder if that'll be where I'm at when I'm 98.
Yes. This makes me think of a thing she shared today about Moses doing all this crazy stuff, like before he went back to Pharaoh. It reminded me of a thing a professor said here at Talbot, who was working on his master's or his doctorate in seminary, and was like, was kind of already qualified to be a pastor or to work in a church, but was but couldn't get a job doing that, and was studying, and took a job as a janitor, and he talked about like how good that was for him, just to understand. Like what, how all like just normal, I say normal people, as if pastors are like something else, but how his congregants, how people that have jobs that aren't church work, a part of their life. And so he says, I don't regret that at all. It's like one of the most influential things for me in becoming like in being a pastor is because I could relate to people more. So I actually took a job recently as a janitor for that. I was like, oh, it's a good thing to like humble me and to help me see things. And it's at a church. So like, I think for pastors, oftentimes, the temptation is to be kind of in this abstract world, like, cause you're just talking theology and philosophy and not seeing on the ground things, and even leading other staff members and doing things. Helping them engage or helping them do their work in a meaningful way. So for me to see like all the behind the scenes stuff at a church has just been really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been cool.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I think to see how each of us in our stories that God is in the business of using things that we never thought he could use, and yeah. those transferable skills, and even the family you mm-hmm. come in and the jobs you have that the Lord is able to really use all these intricate parts of you and really bring his glory in ways that we would have never imagined.
Yeah. Yeah, so in light of that, that we can look back on life and see places that we were working and we didn't get it. Like we didn't know it was meaningful. Mm-hmm. It wasn't shaping our calling. But now we can see it did have some effect. Can you guys think of places right now where you see that like, oh, I don't want to do this task, and trying to find meaning in that? Like how do you bring yourselves to the place of trying to find meaning in what seems like the tedious and annoying?
Yeah, I think I remember in high school I had a youth pastor who really mentored a bunch of the youth students. And he told us, really, he actually really shared the perspective of how every little thing we do, whether it's, you know, filling out a balance sheet or sharing with someone the gospel, how it all is part of the bigger picture of God's plan, and how kind of the image of the body of Christ, that we all have these different functions. But I remember one specific instance where we were walking in the parking lot and there was a piece of trash in the church parking lot, and he picked it up and he threw it away. And he told us that that the importance it was to have when people walk onto a campus to see a clean campus, that people make an immediate judgment. And in that moment, though he was showing us kind of like a practical skill and encouraging us to take ownership of our positions, even in the little things like picking up trash when it wasn't our responsibility or our trash, he really taught us the bigger lesson that every little thing matters, and that even in the things that aren't our responsibility or things that are arduous and are not maybe not your inclination or your natural gifting, that they matter, and that it brings value to God because of those things. And so I think that was a very formative thing that now fast forward to now. I know there are moments in my job where there are things that I'm not excited about. But in those things, I remember that moment. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me that even in the little things, that God is getting so much glory, not because like I'm doing things and I'm amazing, go Jesus, you know, but just because that obedience is something that's so valuable, and it just really builds that grit that really plays into your calling.
Yeah. This just made me think of a statistic I heard a guy talking that worked for Disneyland, Disney World. So I'll ask you guys the question. Out of all the people that work at Disney, we'll say Disneyland since we're close to that. I think the number is the same there as at Disney World. Mm. What percentage of them work as custodial?
50.
50%?
Yep.
Okay. He said 100%.
I knew it was true. 100%.
He said that everyone there is like, a Disney employee could get fired for walking by trash and not picking it up. That everybody has to do it. And so, like, if I think about Disneyland, like, I never see messes.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
But the thing is, they're so ingrained with this idea that, like, one of their big values is hospitality, is making it look, you know, look good. And so it's like, oh, man, that's so – I just thought that's cool because you were talking about your pastor saying that. But, yeah, other things for you guys that, like,
I mean, I think there's something to the idea of like perseverance and endurance too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think that, I don't know, I often hear from students who have like recently graduated, like about like 6 months into their jobs, like a lot of our students are like ready to move on.
Yes,
you know, right, yeah. I mean, because I think it's like, oh, I had this like dream of what it was going to be and I got there and it wasn't it, you know, like it was not as glamorous as I thought it was, or there's things that I have to do that I'm just not good at or I don't like to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's this automatic in us like, oh, maybe I'm in the wrong spot. Mm. Maybe I'm supposed to be somewhere else, mm-hmm. you know? And generally when I coach people, I usually tell them, like, you need to stay in that job for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I think there is something to perseverance and endurance and being able to move beyond the smaller obstacles of mm-hmm. life. Because as a future employer of some of those people, I want to know, like, can you persevere through? Or yes. are you going to bolt, yes. right, when you don't like something? Yes. And I do feel like some of the fruit of the spirit of, like, patience and perseverance and moving forward and learning how to see beyond the surface level, I feel like we haven't really cultivated a lot of those skills.
Yeah. It makes me think of, like, when we're talking about meaningful work, is the meaning in that situation your own formation? Your mm-hmm. own, like, your training, your development mm-hmm. is to stay with it, because in that case, you're developing perseverance and patience.
And you're probably actually getting skills that you don't realize that you're getting, which is kind of like what we were talking about, right? Like, there is something to that. But I think there is something to, can I see beyond, like, what is very visible in front of me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Can I ask the deeper questions of, God, what are you doing in my life and how do I cooperate with you?
Yeah.
Like, in this moment, I am not seeing that this is, like, clearly your will,
right.
you know, but is there something that you are doing? And then I think that there's a place to petition and be honest with God about the fact that you don't like it. Like, God knows, not yeah. like he doesn't already know, right?
right.
And yeah. so, but being able to say, like, God, this is not really my game, you know, this is not what I really like. And mm-hmm. so, God, where do you want to move me next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then how are you going to, are there certain skills that maybe you want to give to me? Maybe I need to be asking for in that job. Maybe I need to be asking for other opportunities to try other things in addition to my current responsibilities that will then equip me for the next place.
Yeah.
So it's not so much like, hey, I don't like these pieces, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, honestly, guys, in every single job, there's going to be stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody right. anywhere right. this side of heaven
yes. right.
has a job that doesn't have that. And in fact, we will yes. do good work that
right.
doesn't have sin in it
yeah.
in heaven. So that's a whole other conversation.
Welcome to work after the fall.
Yeah. like,
we're all in this together.
That's right. And so I think there is something to trusting that God is sovereign, right? And trusting that
yeah.
God is in control regardless of what we are feeling and experiencing in that moment. So I think, like, for me, sometimes the invitation is, what is my felt need? What is my actual need?
Mm.
And then where is God moving me in the middle of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And I think more often than not, there might be an invitation to stay, to persevere and endure. Let God cultivate something in your character. Because I actually think character is super important.
Right.
And we forget that.
Yeah.
Because we're thinking about, yeah. how comfortable am I?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much money am I making? Does this bring me joy? Do
yeah.
I feel meaning in my life?
Yeah. And that one's a hard one, because I can't put that on a resume.
That's right.
You know, when I say, like, I'm going to tough this out, because then when I'm done with it, I can put it on my resume.
Mm.
I did this. I got this degree. I got this. But when it's developing character, it's a little bit different.
But it actually comes out in your interviews.
Oh, totally.
Right. So
totally.
Then you actually have. So what I would say is, you know, start putting together, like, answers for interview questions as
yeah.
you are, like, how did you work through it? How'd you problem solve through it? If you're sitting in the middle of a conflict with someone, figure out how you navigate that. Because honestly, when you're in an interviewing for another job, they're going to ask you behavioral questions. They're going to ask you situational questions.
Right.
Everything that you're experiencing now in the current job, you're going to be able to talk about, right? If you actually did the hard work of working through it, so you have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is there an invitation for you? Is God kind of shaping, equipping, or is there a concrete skill or even way of thinking, something you could try that's new that God might be actually putting in front of you so that you can be equipped for the next thing? Because if all we did were things that we felt like we were competent at, I don't know. I feel like God wants us to flourish, which means mm-hmm. it's not just staying stagnant.
Right. We wouldn't grow.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the, what if this is a season of pruning, right? Like we talk about, like, pruning back, and it means in pruning, you're cutting things off.
Yep.
Right? So what if this current job that you hate is actually a part of God's pruning you and shaping you so that later you can be in this place where you can flourish and like a plant or a rose bush blossom into what God has actually intended. But you had to have all these things kind of pruned back, cut off in this season so you're ready for the next season. So you can flourish.
Do you think in those seasons where we're doing jobs that we hate, like the key to remaining, I guess, happy and joyful in the Lord and not becoming bitter, like the key to that is the formational kind of thinking that you're talking about, or like the forward thinking and having hope in the future that someday this stuff will all make sense? Do you think that, or how do we abstain from bitterness in those kind of times? Because it can be so easy, I feel.
I think that's one part of it. I think it's actually like having a well-rounded life. I think you have to have other things that are important to you. It just can't be about an occupation. Occupation is one part of your life, right? Having an income in a specific area of your life, that's we're all called to that as a result of the fall, right? Like, it's just a part of how we do life. And some of us get to do like meaningful work that feels meaningful. And some of us do work that's in front of us because it pays the bills, right? And that's one part of, I think, our lives. But I think we're created for relationship. So you have to decide, like, for you, like, what types of relationships are meaningful for you. Maybe your family, maybe you come from a collectivistic community and your family is like, this is where you belong. So then there's something to investing in those relationships because that becomes life-giving. For some of us, like, we actually don't know the parents that we came from. Maybe we were adopted, or maybe we were orphaned, right? And so maybe in those situations, God might provide communities for us, or we have to go look for those communities. I mean, the church is one of those communities. And so for some of us, it might be being connected and being plugged in there. For some of us, it's like, you know what? I love my Pure Barre ballet class, or, you know, like swimming is my thing, or, you know what? I'm a runner and I just need to get out there and run. And that's refreshing and restorative for me. I think it's hard when, like one part of our lives just becomes so big that it takes over everything else. And I think we're supposed to live holistic, flourishing lives. I think there's something to our emotional capacities, our relational capacities, our abilities to actually do work, our spiritual capacities. And so I think we need to develop and invest in all of those parts of us, including even our physical capacities, right? Like being healthy people. So then that way, when one thing gets knocked down in one part of our life, it doesn't like demolish your entire life, because you've seen your life as that's only one part, right? Like, and I feel like sometimes I get scared, like, okay, like, you know, what if like my position gets eliminated, you know, or what if like I can't get a job X, Y, and Z, right? Like, I think that we get fear about those things. But the reality for me, and this may be because I do come from a place of privilege and, you know, my parents were educated and things, but I've always seen God provide in some way. And I think the other thing that God has also been working in me is, Lisa, are you willing to like go and work anywhere I've called you to go and work? And I had to work out my stuff, because there was a list. I was like, I do not think so.
Not there.
Yeah, I was like, please don't call me, you know? Yeah.
And like Jonah to Nineveh.
Oh my gosh. And I refuse to like, I'm never going to say I'm never going to do something because, you know.
That's how you get sent there.
That's a little scary. So, but I think there is something to, can I surrender and be open to God wherever he would want to send me? You know, like, what if it's something that's below my education? No big deal. You know, maybe that's the work that God has called me to in that season, because there is something that God is doing. So there have been times that I either didn't get jobs, or God told me to step out of a search process for something. And it wasn't until like maybe 6 months later that I saw like, that's exactly why God did not want me applying for that position. But I couldn't see it in the moment. You know, and so I think there is something to like holding your hands open enough before God to say, I have these desires, wants, dreams, hopes. I don't know what you're going to do with them, but help me, God, to walk with you as you help me discern these things, because I want a full holistic life. I don't want to get demolished by one thing.
I feel like it's difficult too to have some sort of balanced life when your occupation is also your hobby, like for the arts or for scholars or for, you know, things like that, where like if you read a lot and you love reading, but also your job is to read, or, you know, something like that, where you can't really find the line between when you're just having fun and when you're doing it to pay the bills anymore. And that's something I'm definitely struggling with right now, is just learning where to have balance and how, and like, how much am I supposed to give to this so that it can actually be successful? And how much do I trust God in that? And
so this is actually part of the reason I took the job as a janitor was because in school and in ministry, everything is like mentally and emotionally engaging. So it's taxing in those ways. And being a janitor, I'm just in my body. Like that's all I'm doing. Like I'm, and so to have that freedom. And so like, I get to get paid for that.
Yeah.
That was a cool, cause for me, I would go home and I'd clean up my housemates' messes and like work on little projects. Cause it's just a way to like check out, but also be productive and accomplish something. And then when I found out about this job, I was like, wait, I can do those things and get paid for it? Awesome. But to find that balance, and the balance might not always come in actual jobs, but to be open to, as Lisa was saying, like always asking God, where, what can change or what do I need to stay with? What do I need to stick with? And so my answer to your earlier question is I just have a cheesy Christian answer for it. Which could be unpacked. We don't have enough time for me to give you the full sermon, but it's prayer. Just pray more. It sounds super cheesy.
Pray better.
Pray better, yeah. But for me, it's been always being, kind of to what Lisa was saying, open to God and continue. So when I do find myself in bitterness, like you're saying, talk to God about that. Like, God, what am I missing here? Like, what is... And my experience has been... He just moved my mind to see things like I didn't before, and maybe get, like gives me a vision for why I'm doing that again. But I find that it's in times when I check out from engagement with him that I get way more bitter and I get way more upset that I'm doing certain things. So, yes, cheesy Sunday school answer, pray more. But it just felt like that's something that has rang true for me.
Yeah.
I do think the pray more, like it's remembering it's a two-way conversation.
Yes.
Right. It's like I'm honestly saying these things to God and getting my bitterness out to him, maybe with a confidential good friend too, you know, but then allowing God to also speak back to me, right? And that's going to come through other people sometimes. It's going to come through his word at times. God will never contradict himself in scripture, so that's a good like check and balance for us, right?
Yes.
But I think there is something to that. And I think to the balance piece, this is something that I think I've been learning is that sometimes to be balanced means that it's not going to look balanced in the way that we think it's balanced, right? So there might be at certain seasons in our life where like something has a little bit more weight to it. But in the whole of my life, it's balanced because different seasons I've been in different places. And I'm going to give maybe a little bit more time and energy to this specific relationship or to this specific church calling or vocation or to this thing that I really love, you know?
Yeah.
And that may actually be a balanced life. It's not that we give 20% to everything in five categories to get 100%, right? There are certain seasons of life that this is going to be 40%, this is going to be 2%, and that's totally legit. Like, there is no moral answer to that question, you know? So I think if we're not talking about areas of morality, I think at different seasons of our lives, we focus on different things, and that's a good, and I think the place that you're sitting right now, that's awesome. Because you wrestling that out is going to look different than Megan wrestling that out, to Landon wrestling that out, to myself wrestling it out. And there's no right way to wrestle that out.
Yeah,
that's good. Hey, well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this conversation.
Woo-hoo!
It was a blast. Woo. To all our listeners out there, grace and peace to you.
Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, we would love it if you were to rate us on iTunes. And if you want to continue the conversation, follow us on social media.